Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete, AM 570 LA Sports. It is the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Give us your best 30-second take. You get a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, and the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. At 12:30, you're going to be the smartest person in the room, whether you like it or not. We're going to hook you up, and good luck to you. 12:20. The general manager of the Dodgers, Farhan Zaidi, will join us on the program. We'll get into what is ailing the club and see if Farhan has any remedies for it. Last night, if it's not one thing, it's another. Isn't that how life is?
Ugh is all I can say, Fred.
If it's not one thing, it is another.
Yep.
Clayton Kershaw pitches well enough to win, does not get a lot of run support, makes a mistake to A.J. Pollock, and that one's on him. Pollock hits a home run. But the Dodgers, thanks to Cody Bellinger, take the lead. Things are good. You go to the bullpen last night, and Adam Libator gave up a shot to Descalso, and that was the game. The Dodgers come up short. Rodney, if it's not one thing, it's another.
I don't understand. I do understand, but man. And if you're Clayton Kershaw, you know, I know he's had some pretty relatively good games and hasn't had the run support. But like you're mentioning, it's not one thing or another. He goes out and pitches a great game, but they can't score more than one run. Last night he leaves 3-2, gave up the mistake, but he still leaves the game 3-2 up, and they can't hold the lead. So it's frustrating because everyone wants to say it's a bullpen. Oh, it's a bullpen, it's a bullpen, it's a bullpen. It's not just the bullpen. It is not just a bullpen because for the better part of the year, it's been the lack of offense more so than the bullpen. So I don't know. I know I keep saying, and Dodger insiders and everyone associated with the Dodgers keep saying it's still early. It's still early. We'll work the kinks out. Remember our downward slide. We lost 16-17 in September and all that kind of stuff. But, man, it sure feels like it's getting out of hand right now.
And last night when they bring Adam Libator in, they expected him to do the deed and close the deal. Because when you get to Adam Libator...
Libitor is not for everyone, including people with liver problems and women who are nursing, pregnant, or may become pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay.
They brought him in.
Not for everyone, though, Fred.
They went to Libitor. Well, it wasn't for everyone last night.
No.
That's for sure. I felt bad for the poor guy.
Libitor is not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. Last night, it wasn't for them. And no. They come up on the wrong end once again. Mm. Here's Dave Roberts talking about the bullpen woes.
The pen, the last 9-10 days, it's been rough. It's been a slump. And we've got to find a way to get out of it. We got to get ahead of hitters. And I think you look back at those 9 or 10 days, we've been behind a lot to the hitters, our guys in the pen. So it's a funk. We got to get out of it.
Silence!
Last night marked the fourth time in the last 9 games that the Dodgers bullpen has surrendered a lead in the 7th inning or later.
Science!
Los Angeles relievers now have a 4.77 ERA on the season.
Science!
In the last 8 games, the bullpen has given up 34 hits, 16 walks, and 22 earned runs in the 23 and a third innings. That is an ERA of 8.49 and a whip of 2.14.
Science!
D-back center fielder A.J. Pollock has hit 6 home runs against the Dodgers this year. No Dodger player has hit more than 4 the entire season.
Science!
And Arizona has won 2 of those 3 Clayton Kershaw starts. 7-1 this season against the Dodgers. Now lead by a whopping 9 games in the National League West. Dodgers are 2-5 in games started by Kershaw, 1-7 against Arizona.
Libitor is not for everyone.
Not last night. But nonetheless, they're back at it again tonight. They'll play the Diamondbacks in Arizona. Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates starts at 5:30, right after the Petros and Money Show. Your official home for the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. Now, I want to get into this, Rodney. Dodger fans, I think, are going to weigh in. When Frank McCourt owned the Dodgers, he left a very sour taste in the minds and the mouths of the fans. And here's why. Because they were very frustrated that he was taking money from the club, which we learned during his divorce proceeding, which was an ugly affair, and using it on himself. to get haircuts in his office every day so his wife could have fresh flowers, so they could fly around on private planes. And he was taking the money that people were paying, and they thought, well, we're investing in the team, and he'll turn around and use it on the field. No, he was using the money for his own personal benefit. To a point, and I've mentioned this before, and I've never seen it. One time it worked. People became so upset that they actually staged protests and stayed away from the games. They actually boycotted the games. Yeah. That's how upset people were.
Yeah, when have you ever heard Dodger fans to do that?
They boycott. I've never in professional sports in my life seen that.
Yeah.
And it happened, and it worked. I mean, they literally boycotted. They didn't go to the games. Fine. So Frank McCourt sells to the Guggenheim guys, and of course they come in and they turn the whole thing around and operate the Dodgers as the franchise should have been operated. But in that deal, and I don't have the specific number, and if someone does, and I'm sure someone does.
$14 million.
Is that what he gets a year?
Yeah, $14 million from the Dodgers ownership.
Okay. So every year, Frank McCourt gets $14 million from the Dodgers ownership in parking fees. Remember, that's how he bought the Dodgers. He leveraged parking lots back east and took the money and bought the Dodgers. That's how he did it. He's made his money in parking lots. So when the Dodgers were sold, he's a shrewd guy, may not be your favorite, but he still gets, when you
park. You retain the parking, right?
$14 million a year. When you pay to park at Dodger Stadium, you're paying Frank McCourt. Now, we all know parking can be problematic at Dodger Stadium, especially getting out after the game, although I have a way to get out.
Mm.
I'll tell you this.
You take your helicopter?
No, I know exactly how to get out of there and how to get out fast.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What, are you leaving the sixth?
First, I park in lot F. I park in lot F. And I park right where you can pull into the road and jet right out. And my advice to you is when you go to Dodger Stadium, park closest to the nearest exit. In other words, whenever you go into any lot, there's a way you have to come out.
Right.
Be the first car when you come out. You're out of there.
Yeah. But you also have to know the one ways when they change it up at the end of the game.
Well, yeah. Makes it more challenging that way. All right. So I know how to get out of Dodger Stadium, and I know it costs a lot to park at Dodger Stadium. So Frank McCourt has an idea. Actually, it's his son who has the idea. But Frank's going to back it. They're going to build gondolas at Union Station. And you'll go down and park at Union Station, and it'll be kind of like Disneyland. You'll get on the gondola, and you'll fly into the stadium. You'll get off, and you'll walk in. Now, I don't know what it'll cost, but you know there's going to be a fee associated with that.
Like a lift at the snow resort.
Right. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right. You'll be like on a ski lift flying over the city. And it'll take like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you'll get there.
Right.
And parking won't be as bad. Frank McCourt is going to invest $125 million in this, meaning Frank McCourt is going to get paid. Going to get paid. Yeah. Gets paid for the parking lot now. Now he's going to get paid for the gondola.
Would you get on that gondola?
I would not get on the gondola. I would not. But here's why I would not. And this is just a personal preference. And I've spoken with Frank McCourt. We may not have the most cordial relationship. I'm not giving him any of my money if I can avoid it.
But you do.
And that, yeah,
you
that,
do.
That galls me.
Yeah, you do already.
That galls
and
me.
And most Dodger fans do. They go into the game. You're parking, so you're paying him. You know, I always felt that there should be something like an alternative way, whether it be a tram or something that goes right to Dodger Stadium from downtown or, in this case, Union Station. But I'm with you. Who wants to give Frank McCourt any money? Any money. Especially, you know, and on top of that, you wonder about the quality of this gondola that he's building. It may fall apart. It may fall apart halfway through or halfway to Dodger Stadium. And people are falling out of the gondola as they're going up to Chavez Ravine.
So here's the question. Dodger fans, longtime Dodger fans, and most of the people that listen to the radio show are longtime Dodger fans. Are you concerned that you'll fall out of Frank McCourt's gondola?
Did you guys see the video about 6 weeks ago of that that ski lift somewhere maybe in Russia or something?
Yes,
that didn't stop.
Didn't stop
and it was
at
going
the
100
end.
Miles an hour.
It kept going around and
people
jumping out of the thing, and it was going around so fast people couldn't get off. Oh my God. It was not. I'm not
laughing.
Over.
And people are killed. I'm not that. Laughing, but yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. That's the gondola.
There's the gondola. It'll just tip you over and you'll fall out.
But seriously, can you, the brass, you know what, to be able to come back and try to offer that to the Dodgers, offer Dodger fans after what he did to this franchise when he owned it, to come back and say, I'm going to provide a service to Dodger fans. I mean, you got to be out of touch with reality.
So he's going to make money from the parking lot, which he's choking us out right now on. He's choking us. He's getting paid. I don't care if the Guggenheim guys get paid.
Yeah.
They've invested in the franchise.
Right, right.
They spent hundreds of millions of dollars in the stadium.
Frank McCourt, gee, he's getting $14 million for parking. Just go to some island and just sit down somewhere.
You know he owns the LA Marathon?
Does he really?
I think he owns the LA Marathon.
Does he?
Look it up.
Wow.
Everybody that runs in the marathon is paying Frank McCourt. Mm-hmm. Everybody that runs in the marathon. Did you see the story where he wanted to buy the soccer team in France?
I saw that last year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And did you see how he was portrayed? A man that really knows how to operate a franchise. Look how much money he made when he sold the Dodgers. That was the media push there. My God, this guy's a genius.
I mean, it's a shrewd businessman to be as hated as he was and get ousted by Major League Baseball and still find a way to continually make profit. Mm-hmm. As a businessman, I know it's not popular for Dodger fans to say it, but it's pretty damn smart.
No, he's a smart guy.
To hang on to the parking, though.
Yeah, that's
during
amazing.
The deal. How did he, I mean.
Because you always have to park.
Yeah. Right.
But to not give that up as part of the deal, you have to be very shrewd to make that part of the deal. I'll sell you the team. But I get to control the parking.
Can you imagine? Good morning. What time is it? It's 7 a.m. Here's $14 million.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you have to do for it? I had to get up. I had to get up this morning. Yeah. Actually, I could get up later and still get my $14 million. And now he's going to build gondolas. The question is,
who gives him the permits to do that?
He's got to deal with the city. He's going to get permits from the city?
Oh, Eric Garcetti's fully behind it.
Is he?
He's fully behind it.
What is wrong with the mayor?
I don't know.
Jason, call the mayor. Let's get the mayor on.
I get the idea, but the guy.
Sir,
all right? I get the idea. I really do. I think it could be cool to travel to Dodger games. It's tough getting in and out of there. It really is, unless you know Fred, who knows the quick access to in and out. It's actually not a bad idea to travel to the games that way. But the guy behind it, he just, like you said, I'm not giving him one red damn cent.
Try to book the mayor for next week, Jason. Let's try.
I'm on it, and I confirmed he owns the LA Marathon.
Oh.
Now, is it possible for him to also purchase the 5-110? The only ways into Dodger Stadium.
So your BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse lunch hour question. Are you going to pay Frank McCourt to ride his gondola? 866-987-2570.
Oh my God.
We'll start sprinkling your calls in, and I'm dead serious. You want to pay Frank McCourt to ride that gondola? Really? Or maybe you take this approach. Hey, it might be cool. We'll get in quicker, and who cares? Whatever. Let us know. We'll start sprinkling your calls in. Farhan Zaidi, Dodger General Manager, joins us in the next segment. And at 12:30, we'll make you the smartest person in the room. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. You know, I tear up. That makes me tear up.
But sometimes when you come from the heart, it's real, Fred. And you got to let it go. You got to get it out. You can't let these things bottle up inside of you. Let it out, people. Let it out.
I'm a little verklempt. Look, I'll give somebody $1,000.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword luck to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's luck to 200-200.
Need dental implants? Call Cutting Dental for a free exam. 888-640-SMILE.
Come on now. Answer the phone. When it rings, answer the phone. Unknown number. Block number. Anybody's number. Fred Rogan may call you. Answer the phone. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand.
All right. We want you to win. Now, who's going on Frank McCourt's flying machines? 866-987-2570. We'll start sprinkling these in. Downtown L.A., it's Carlos. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hey, guys. So I already don't pay Frank any money. I do the Dodger Express, which is free, and it takes you all the way via this coned-off lane down Sunset, and you get a police escort all the way to the front of the stadium. And at the end of the game, you go right back to where you were at, and you get back on the bus, brings you back to Union Station. And it's totally free, super convenient. And I'm looking right now at Chavez Ravine, and it's a long way.
Oh, no. Oh,
I liked his answer, too.
Damn, Carlos, you would have won. That was pretty good. Dodger Express, free. That's good information.
Love that.
Why pay Frank when you can ride for free? Jeff in Victorville, go ahead.
Frank McCourt is a jerk. Not only did he keep the lots, and then they gave him development rights and the development fund. Anything to do with Frank McCourt. Boo! Boo!
All right, do one more now. Gunner and Ventura, fire away.
Yeah, first off, Fred, I think you're smarter than most when it comes to the parking and parking towards the exits. But I think it'd be cool to do once or twice, but I don't want to give any more money to the man. And when I think about it, I just think about the line after the game. Think about everybody leaving and all wanting to take that right back to Union Station. They could be staying there for hours.
Hmm. Appreciate the call, Gunner. Thanks.
Good point. The line to get on. And how many, I mean, does it run continuously like a ski lift? Who knows?
Who knows what it, maybe there's only one of them.
Yeah, maybe
one. It seats four at a time. It costs $200 to get on.
Yeah, oh, you know it's going to cost. Yeah, it's Frank McCourt involved. It's going to cost a little change.
Okay, let's get back to this Dodger team. We'll get your calls in. I see you're sitting there. We're going to get you in. But let's bring on the general manager, Farhan Zaidi. Farhan, thanks for jumping on today.
Absolutely, guys.
Okay, so here is how I described this situation. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I look at it as if there's a giant dam, and there are a couple of holes in the dam, and we've got to plug those holes. The problem seems to be, if we get one plugged, another one opens up. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you know, you don't want to be talking about plugging leaks in a dam that might completely collapse on you. But unfortunately, the way this has gone, you know, the first month of the season, you know, I think that's a fair analogy. You know, and you know, I know there's a lot of talk about the pen, but you take a game like last night and. You know, Shagwa came in and did a great job. Kenley threw up a zero. And, you know, the problem is you usually have to rely on three or four relievers to finish the game. And to your point, there's always seems to be one leak in those three or four guys.
Hey, Farhan, look, I've been in locker rooms and organizations, so I know how, you know, rough starts can go and you can turn it around. And, you know, you've been a part of it as well. But in April, we say it's only April. Now it's May. We're saying, well, it's only May 1st, May 2nd. At what point do you go, okay, something's got to give here, and we got to make a dramatic change because right. The way it's going, it looks rough, but it's still early in the season.
It is, and you know, it's funny. We, you know, think back to last September when we were struggling so bad and went through that crazy stretch where we lost 16-17. But that was kind of easier to go through when you had a 20-game lead to work with. So that was a little bit of a different situation. Now, unfortunately, we've dug a little bit of a hole for ourselves, and. You know, we look up at the standings and we're nine games back. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, six of those nine games have just come against the D-backs because they've obviously played us very well. You take out our head-to-head matchups and it's a lot closer. So, you know, we have no choice but to continue to go out there and, you know, just take every game as it comes and kind of slowly try to get back into this.
Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, Farhan. But, you know, I think I can pretty much pinpoint what's happened. Now, can I share it with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I think the person to blame for all of this, and don't take it the wrong way, and I'll explain, is you. Now, I'm going to blame you, but I'm going to tell you why. Because given the work you've done and Andrew has done and the front office has done, the expectation level has been raised to an entirely different stratosphere. And I think that's the issue here. It's the expectation of what this team should be.
Right. Well, you know, I think we understood those expectations, you know, when we got here 3 years ago. So, you know, that kind of comes with the territory that we understand. You know, the more difficult thing and the thing we have to be more careful about is the expectation that, you know, when we lose a superstar player, we can just go out and get another superstar to plug the hole. You know, that is tougher to do. And, you know, we owe it to the guys that we have internally. And we do have a bunch of guys coming back in the next two or three weeks who are going to help a lot. But, you know, it's just going to be a matter of other guys stepping up for now. And obviously, as we always do, we're going to continue to look for ways to get better in the meantime.
Hey, Farhan, is it, you mentioned that playing the Diamondbacks so often. Is it punishment for making it to the World Series that you have to play the Diamondbacks and the Giants maybe, what, 100 times in April and 1st of May? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, we've been going back and forth with those teams a lot. And, you know, it's been a weird schedule early this season. But, you know, those teams are probably looking at it thinking, hey, this is great. We've made up a lot of ground on the Dodgers by playing them a lot early. So, you know, there's two sides to every coin. We've had a lot of competitive games with these two teams that could have gone either way, and we just haven't been able to pull them out. So, you know, we had that good mojo last year where you take the game like last night. I feel like we were on the other end of a lot of those games where we were down early, but you just knew that we were going to be able to keep the other offense at bay and come back and win the game. And that's basically, they turned the tables on us last night.
Dodger General Manager Farhan Zaidi with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete on AM 570. L.A. Sports, a second ago you mentioned, all right, you lose a superstar player, you replace him with a superstar player. When do you really start thinking about we may have to do something like that? Is there a right time frame in your mind?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, the trade dynamic early in the season is difficult because even teams that are struggling out of the gate want to give their teams a little bit more time to work their way back into the picture. So you don't have a lot of pure sellers out there right now. And the challenge is, you know, we need help. You know, if we're going to go out and get help, we'd rather get it sooner rather than later. I mean, you know, we've got a long way to go before the trade deadline. And, you know, if we're going to go out and, you know, give up, you know, good young players to go out and get somebody who can help, we'd certainly rather do it now than 3 months from now when the impact will be a lot less. So, that's, I think, going to be a little bit of a challenge for us in terms of assessing the trade market. Is we're going to see a lot of teams saying they're wait and see mode, and you know, by the time they're ready to move, either the price might seem prohibitive, or we'll have a lot of guys back, and maybe our situation will look different.
Yeah, and you guys have been so successful, you know, doing the next guy up within the organization. I mean, Chris Taylor's, Cody Bellinger, you know, all those guys that came up when we thought, oh, Adrian Gonzalez is injured. What are we going to do at first base? Bring up a guy like Cody Bellinger. He has the season he had last year. When do you start hearing the chatter, like from guys like Fred, that wants you to trade right now or do something right now, who's panicking right now? How do you avoid that chatter, Farhan?
Wait, Farhan.
How do you avoid guys like that that want to push the panic button?
No, I think Rodney nailed that pretty well.
No, he didn't nail it pretty well. I'm not panicked. I'm just asking questions.
Right. Well, look, you know, one of the things that we have the benefit of is we do have a lot of versatile players who can move around the diamond. And you know, it works out in a situation where you lose your shortstop and we're able to get playing time for our top outfield prospect in Alex Verdugo because we can move CT in to play short. So that versatility comes in really handy. Alex has actually done a really nice job his first few games up. We're excited to see what he can do. And maybe he can be the spark that CT and Belly gave us last year, because obviously we're very high on him as a player.
Who else looks good down at Oklahoma City or in the system right now? Guys that maybe we haven't thought of that you hear about every day that we might see up here?
Well, you know, that team has been on an absolute roll. I think they're something like 18-5. You know, that record would look pretty good up in the big league level. But, you know, there's been a lot of contributors down there. You know, a guy who's played really well is Tim LoCastro, who we brought up at the end of the season, kind of evaluated as a pinch runner, you know, in a playoff scenario. We've got, you know, a bunch of young pitchers down there who are pitching really well as well. Henry Ramos is an outfielder who, you know, had a nice camp for us, and he swung the bat really well. So there's a bunch of guys down there that are really producing. That team is playing really well. And so, you know, we may have a chance to continue to evaluate guys from down there.
Hey, Farhan, do you sense any frustration in the clubhouse or with Dave Roberts or the guys, and in particular Clayton Kershaw, who's actually pitched pretty well but hasn't gotten the run support? Do you sense any of that major frustration yet?
I think it's an appropriate level of frustration. Guys hate losing. We're not used to losing, and I think you're seeing that show up. But, you know, one of the things that has made our clubhouse so great is the very high level of accountability. So, you know, as well as Clayton has pitched, you know, he'll say, well, you know, I got two runs and I got to make that hold up. So, you know, when your best player has that level of accountability, everybody's looking at the mirror rather than pointing fingers. And it's when the finger pointing starts that frustration really builds and you can get a negative dynamic in the clubhouse. But this team's been together for a while. It's got a high level of accountability. And, you know, that's the best way to dig yourself out of a hole like this is everybody just kind of looking in the mirror and taking accountability.
All right. So before we let you go, talk right to Dodger fans now. And the question I think they would ask is, and you laid everything out perfectly, when should we as a fan expect to see some of this start turning around? Because, you know, it takes a long time to turn an ocean liner around. And it's got to come slowly, and then it's there. When do you think they should start to expect that?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've got to start playing better right now. I mean, you know, we're nine games out, and, you know, you can't make up nine games in a week, but, you know, we've got to start playing better right away. I think, you know, again, you talk about appropriate frustration. I think there's appropriate urgency, especially playing a team like the Diamondbacks. I mean, I was, you know, did an interview yesterday, and I said yesterday was a must-win, and unfortunately it didn't happen. And, you know, every team, every game against this team is a must-win right now. So, you know, our expectations are our guys are getting to the ballpark every day still expecting to win and understanding that, you know, we've got to start digging ourselves out of this hole right away.
All right, well, Farheim, we appreciate you jumping on, and I did want to clear up Rodney spreading horrible rumors about what I was suggesting. He's a rumor monger.
I got you, Rodney.
I know. I know you understand, Farheim, because I'm looking at his face right now, too. So, yeah.
Farheim.
Yeah, you still got to do the whole show with
it. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for jumping on, man.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
You too. There he goes.
So I was out of line, Fred?
Yeah, you were out of line. I never said that. But I'll say.
You had a little panic in your face, though.
Well, no, a little concerned. Okay. But I'll say this. Given what he said at the very end, I have a lot of respect for Farheim. Because he didn't sugarcoat anything.
No, he didn't.
And he
didn't.
Said, basically, we got to win.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, well, we're working through some stuff here. It'll be fine. He just said.
We got to win.
We got to win.
And he said, last night was a must win, and they didn't win. He said, that was concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, he gets it. He gets it. He understands. I know we keep saying it's May. It's early. But, you know, they're feeling it over there.
Yeah. And that just tells you, if you're a Dodger fan, they're not just sitting back on their hands over there.
There's a sense of urgency there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They get it. Hey, join Beto Duran, Vinny Bonsignor, and Vic the Brick this Saturday, May 5th for Cinco de Mayo at Pancho's Restaurant in Manhattan Beach, featuring a live broadcast from noon to 3 and more. Cinco de Mayo at Pancho's, 3615 Highland Avenue in Manhattan Beach. Now, become the smartest person in the room.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
All right, we're going to get more BJ's calls in here in a second. But today, competing. What are you laughing about?
RP's giving me the evil eye.
Competing in today's real or fake. And remember, as you listen, you'll be the smartest person in the room. Michelle from the control room. Welcome back, Michelle.
I love my title. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you got me last time.
I did.
Yeah, with confidence. Look at you. Not today. Not today. Never lost.
Yeah, you've lost.
I know.
Yeah, you lost.
You know, I'm like LeVar Ball when I said that.
Never lost.
Never lost. What are you, a rocket scientist?
Yes, I am a rocket scientist.
Browns didn't draft Josh Rosen because of UCLA volleyball team. Alonzo Highsmith, the Cleveland Browns vice president of player personnel, gave a talk to the Hall of Fame luncheon this week. He revealed a reason he was uncomfortable drafting UCLA's Josh Rosen. He ran into the UCLA volleyball team at an airport and said, I asked one of the coaches, what's Rosen like? The coach said, you should probably ask someone else. His girlfriend is over there. She's on the team. I don't know what this all means, but there was something about him that bothered me. Did the Browns vice president of player personnel say that, Rodney? Is it real or fake?
First of all, I do know Alonzo, and he doesn't mince words. Miami Hurricane, a lot of pride there. Wants a certain kind of player. I'm going to say that's real.
Michelle from the control room.
I'm going to have to say that's fake. Kind of sounds wacky.
Does sound wacky, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I wish this was on TV, man. That little dance, little jig he just did. Oh, man.
All right. See if you can redeem yourself now. J. Justin Upton celebrates walk-off home run with late-night tacos from Jack in the Box. Angel slugger Justin Upton hit a walk-off single last night against the Orioles. He was asked after the game about the walk-off hit by Angel reporter Alex Curry. She then asked him how he would celebrate. Justin Upton said, "I'm going to treat myself to some tacos at Jack in the Box on the way home." Michelle.
True. True story.
You're saying that is real.
That is real. I'm sorry. That is real.
Rodney.
Wow. You treat yourself to tacos from Taco Bell. Del Taco.
Jack in the Box tacos are pretty good.
Yeah, they're okay. But
I had one this morning.
Okay. They're better than okay, Rodney.
Come on. They're too much. Come on. Stick to what you know. They're burger joint. I'm going to say that's fake.
You sure?
Yeah.
You're positive.
I'm going to say it's fake.
All right.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Oh.
I don't fall for that banana in the tailpipe, Fred.
Where's the little dance?
Pacers front office challenged Victor Oladipo by playing Milli Vanilli during exit interview. Oh, Pacers front office. Not Packers. Pacers front office. I wonder when he played football.
Yeah.
The Pacers had the player exit meetings yesterday when star Victor Oladipo entered the office of general manager Chad Buchanan. A Milli Vanilli song was playing. President Kevin Pritchard asked Oladipo if he's a one-hit wonder. Oladipo said no, he's Michael Jackson. Rodney?
Oh, wow.
Oladipo, Milli Vanilli. Real or fake?
God, after the season he gave them, they're going to come question him if he's a one-hit wonder and get play Milli Vanilli?
Mean-spirited.
As he's walking in?
Mean.
They must not want to keep him very long. That's got to be fake. Please tell me it's fake.
Michelle.
I have to go. It's real.
It's real, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. It's real, boy. Wow, how dare they?
Girl, you know it's true.
Ooh, 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 I love you. I like Blame It on the Rain. I did like that song, though.
That is a good song. Yeah. I have a 12-inch remix on vinyl.
Do you? Look at you. Yeah, I liked it.
I've got a 12-inch.
Yeah, it hurt me when I found out that they didn't really sing all those songs.
Oh, it did not.
Remix. Remix, Kevin.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right now, Kev.
Google has Cavs guard Jose Calderon's net worth at $2.2 billion. Jose Calderon. It would appear that the Cleveland Cavaliers backup guard Jose Calderon is a billionaire with a net worth in excess of $2.2 billion. After all, it's on the internet. Images circulated on Twitter this week of the Google results. And while there is a Jose Calderon with $2.2 billion net worth, no one knows the reason for this Google glitch. Michelle. Jose Calderon. Decent NBA player. $2.2 billion net worth. Real or fake?
That's fake news.
It's fake?
Yeah, it's fake.
Yeah, Calderon's a very common name. Easy mistake. That's totally. Fake. Fake.
Fake?
It's real, boy.
What?
It's real. It's real, boy.
Wait, that the basketball player is $2.2 billion in net worth?
No, that there was a glitch this week that had $2.2 when you Google his name.
Yeah, it was a trick question because I knew he couldn't be a billionaire, and I knew there was a trick. Yeah, because there's a million of my names. I mean, that's why I have a 3 after mine.
Exactly.
Email.
Yeah, come on.
All right, yeah, that was...
Come on, let's be specific.
That was bogus. All right, we'll do one more.
All right. I'm still up, though, right?
All right.
2-1.
Okay.
Okay, so wait. We're going to do one more because we're running out of time. So what do you want? The rare phobia or porn bots?
Porn bots. No hesitation.
Porn bots.
You want porn bots?
Are they cousins of the fem bots?
Hey, now.
Hey.
MLB to address porn bots spamming Facebook Live game streams. Major League Baseball has issued a statement indicating the league is aware of porn bots spamming game broadcasts on Facebook Live and vowed to institute proper safeguards to deal with how the tawdry, adult entertainment-oriented messages are infiltrating the comments. Rodney, porn bots, real or fake?
Yeah, you know, and the Dodgers getting ready to play on Facebook.
Yeah.
Tomorrow in Monterey.
I think Dave Roberts using some of those porn bots.
Yeah, you know what? It's a major issue, and Facebook's had its issues over the years.
12-inch remix.
Over the last couple years. So... A lot of people leaving Facebook, so they better clear this up. But I'm going to say that's real. Yeah.
Michelle.
I'm going to say it's real, too. I know people that do the internet and come across that.
Absolutely. Pops. Right.
You porn bot lovers. All right. Michelle, good job. You lost.
Way to go, Michelle.
It was like 2-1. It wasn't that bad, I recall last week.
Yeah, wasn't that bad. It's still a loss is a loss. Get on out.
All right,
Michelle. Never lost.
Yeah.
Never lost.
Yeah, well, you have, but not today. All right, let's do a couple. Yeah, no, we understand. We know. Let's get a couple more BJs in here. 12-inch remix. BJs. Restaurant Brewhouse.
12-inch remix.
Okay, would you ride Frank McCord's Flying Machines?
Buddy, the millennials don't have any idea what that means.
Nah, neither do I, and I said it. Okay. Steven and Hawthorne, go ahead. Steven, you there? You've been holding forever. Steven.
Uh-oh, Steven. Come on, Hawthorne.
Jump on, Steven. This is your moment. Steven! Steven.
Come on, Steven.
Ryan and Laguna, go ahead.
Yeah, guys, I think there's a lot of cool options. I mean, seriously, good old carpooling. There's so many people who come to the game by themselves, and so that could obviously help with, like, you know, car issues and what McCourt gets and the Dodger Express. But honestly, as caring and respectable Dodger fans, I think we should give Franklin the opportunity to build this. And why don't we let him ride it first and, you know, just have an accidental cord cutting or something? I think that sounds good.
Okay, a little dark.
Wow.
A little dark.
A little bit.
A little dark on that. Thanks for the call. Wow. John in Anaheim Hills, go ahead.
Heck no, I'm not giving that parking lot slumlord one penny of my money. I go to about 30 to 35 games a year, and when I found out that he was getting the revenue from the parking lot, I've taken the shuttle over from Union Station. So forget it. After he ran my team into the ground worse than Georgia Frontieri, I'll never give him a dime. He can put in gondolas, dog sleds. I'm not paying a penny.
Wow. How do you really feel?
That was strong. I liked it.
I love that.
Let's go Ross and Sherman Oaks. Go ahead, Ross.
Well, the thing with Frank is there's the A-list gondola, which takes you to the field level, and his friends get to ride it. But Frank always has a C-list gondola, and that's the problem that goes to the top deck. That's where you're just hanging off the skids. So, you know, I'm also the A-list Frank friends inner circle nice gondola, but that C-list gondola I would definitely stay away from.
All right, appreciate it.
Good take.
We will award the winner of BJ's coming up in the next segment. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you ever put one of your kids in the position to be called lazy and arrogant? As a parent, would you put your kids in a position to publicly be called lazy and arrogant? Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete, AM 570 LA Sports. We'll award BJ's here in a couple of minutes. By the way, if you didn't get in today, our apologies. That's why we suggest call early. If you were the first 8-10 people, you get in. And then afterwards, it just depends. Farhan Zaidi was great today. We actually cut real or short or real or fake short a little bit to try to get more people in. But get in early. Tomorrow, are we working tomorrow? Nope. Oh, we're off tomorrow.
Dodger game.
We have the Dodger game tomorrow.
Out of the country game.
All right. So yeah. We're off tomorrow. Dodger baseball.
Dodger baseball. Live on Facebook.
Okay. So you'll be able to catch the game here.
Right.
It's actually Jason. In Arizona tomorrow. The last of the 4-game series.
Yeah. Oh, when are they going to Monterey? Next week?
Friday?
Friday.
This weekend
Friday.
Against the Padres.
Friday. Friday in Monterey.
But we're back on Friday.
We're back on Friday.
Hollywood Park.
Hollywood Park.
Ray's Lounge from noon to 2.
Olden Polynice. Meta World Peace.
All the legends.
Come on down.
Spend some time with us down there. Throw a couple of back. Listen to the show and enjoy yourself. Meet the guys. Okay. I would think that it would be the goal of every parent. If you have kids, you probably feel this way. And if you don't have them, you were a kid at a certain period in time of your life. So you would probably feel this way as well. Would you not want to always put your kids in the position to succeed? Life can be cruel. We learn lessons. We grow. And it makes us a better person. But is it not your objective on a daily basis to put your kids in a position to succeed? Wouldn't that be the goal, Rodney?
That's the goal of any father or any, you know, parent or anybody, is to put the people you love, especially your kids, in a situation to succeed and not be ridiculed by someone else. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's utterly ridiculous to try to gain whatever fame you're trying to get on the backs of your kids and really put them in a no-win situation that's going to affect them for the rest of your life, especially a 16-year-old kid.
All right, so if you put your son or daughter in a position that allowed somebody, and it's because you did it, you did this, they didn't do it, you did this. If you put your son or daughter in a position to allow someone publicly to call them lazy and arrogant, publicly state that, how would you feel?
If I did that, if I put them in there, I'd feel humiliated. I'd feel like I'm the worst parent in the world if I did that. I mean, because it was out of no fault of their own. It was my decision to direct their lives in a way in which they were going to get ridiculed. And the thing about it, Fred, is that everybody knew it was a mistake. All the signs pointed to it was a mistake. I'm sure even, you know, his senses in the back of his mind, that voice is telling him this is a mistake. Yet he did it anyway because the ego couldn't get out of the way.
LaVar Ball put his kids in the Lithuanian Basketball League. Now, honestly, we can sit here and think we know what that means. We really don't. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. We know this, that the league they played in was kind of like an advanced high school league. That's what we know. And we know there were other teams in other leagues, but we know they didn't play in the upper tier of Lithuanian European basketball. Kind of like a glorified AAU. We know that. And we also know that LaVar Ball put his kids there to dominate. That's why he did that.
Yes.
Now, you can take everything else away. That's what he did. LaMelo, the young one, the 16-year-old, by former teammates called lazy and arrogant, not engaged in the whole process, undisciplined. We've seen it in AAU ball, but didn't really get better. And that's the goal over there for a 16-year-old to impress and get better. Multiple people on the team said LaMelo really never bought in. Never bought in. He took his kid out of high school, put him in Lithuania, wanted him to dominate. By the way, found a place where he thought he could dominate.
Where he thought he could dominate, exactly. Went and searched it out.
This is where it's going to be. Took his son out of high school because the coach said you can't shoot every shot. Put him over there and wanted his son to shoot every shot. And what happened? Not ready to play there. Not ready to play at that level. And that was not a great level.
But I mean, you're talking about a 16-year-old kid, and it's an emotional adjustment to go to a foreign country where you don't speak the language, and you got to adapt to the culture, let alone you're with people that some of them, this is their livelihood and how they pay their rent and support their families. They're smoking and drinking around you, and you expect them to just focus on basketball. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen for a 16-year-old kid or even a 19-year-old kid.
And the damage, I think, at least, as a parent, that you've done to your kids.
Oh, it's irreparable.
You put them in a position to fail, not to succeed. You've placed your child in a position of failure, not success. I don't get it. 16 years old. The story from USA Today, lazy and arrogant. I would never want my kids to be called that nationally in a national publication. If they're a grown adult and they've made mistakes, then they have to pay the price. But boy, 16 years old.
Not rocket scientists.
It's not rocket scientists.
It's not rocket scientists. My question is, I don't understand about, you know, LaMelo, LiAngelo, but where is La Biblioteca?
That's a good question.
La Biblioteca. You know?
He's on the horizon. He's on the horizon. La Biblioteca.
On the horizon. Never lost.
Never lost. Never. Well.
La Biblioteca.
You're losing a lot lately, it sounds like.
Bad news.
Oh, that's bad, man. It's bad. I do feel bad for the kids. I really do. And then one's trying to enter the NBA draft. And
Not ready.
Not even close
gonna
to being ready.
Going to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Going to be another one.
You're trying to put the pressure on the Lakers to draft him. I mean, it's just bad.
And, you know, here's the thing. You think, oh, well, they're playing and they don't get picked. If you have kids, you understand what this does to them. Long term, there are long term effects to this. Long term, they're going to remember. Long term, there will be a point where they will rebel. It's not good. It wasn't good at the beginning. People thought we were haters.
Yeah.
Didn't buy in. Why aren't you buying in? Because you don't even need a crystal ball to see that the light at the end of the tunnel is a speeding train, and it's heading right for you. All right, Jason, who wins BJ's today?
You know, John and Anaheim Hills really brought it about that Frank McCourt topic.
Heck no, I'm not giving that parking lot slumlord one penny of my money. I go to about 30 to 35 games a year, and when I found out that he was getting the revenue from the parking lot, I've taken the shuttle over from Union Station. So forget it. After he ran my team into the ground worse than Georgia Frontieri, I'll never give him a dime. He can put in gondolas, dog sleds. I'm not paying a penny.
Way to go. Mush. Stay off that dog sled. You've done it. You won a $100 yeah. gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Wherever you go, whatever you do, there's a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. Over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. Rodney, we have warned about this. The name game. The perils of playing the name game.
Mm.
Next, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Bottom of the hour, good call, bad call. Kevin, what's on the agenda?
We'll talk about one of our local quarterbacks who was taken high in the draft and whether or not he should be starting from day one
okay.
in the NFL.
All right. We'll get to that coming up. Also this hour, we're giving away Dodger tickets. And at 20 after the hour, we'll put a grand in your hand. And Friday, they'll be at the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park Casino. Come on down noon to 2. Meta World Peace, Olin Polonese. Rodney will be there. Dodger tickets to give away.
That's going to be a good time.
Going to be
a
good
time.
Come on down.
Come join us.
Invite you down there.
Olin Polonese, Meta World Peace. There's going to be some interesting conversation with those two.
Oh, they'll tell stories.
Yeah, they will.
And if they're not true, they'll make them up. They're like Brian Williams.
Oh.
Meta's got some good stories, by the way. You hear the one about when he was playing pickup basketball and one guy took the table leg, broke it off of a table, and impaled another guy? Do you hear about that?
No.
That's some D.
Ask him about that story.
I'm going to have to ask him about that one.
Pickup basketball, a guy broke the leg off of a table and threw it through the chest of another guy.
Jesus.
That's how you play defense.
I guess so.
You know, that's denying.
That's the court of hard knocks right there.
I like it. Okay. Here's the perfect example of why the name game does not work. Let's talk NBA. All right, we can get into the playoffs, but let's focus on this for a second. You might find this hard to believe, but things didn't go well in Oklahoma City. We know that. Paul George is going to leave. The Lakers, the destination most people believe he'll end up in. Some thought maybe Philadelphia. We'll see. July is around the corner, and that's when it'll all shake out. But here's the other thing that's interesting. The Thunder would like to part ways with Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony, $28 million.
No way they want to part ways
with
him.
Oh, yeah. They pretty much like that to go away. Now, Carmelo Anthony can opt in. They don't have any say about this. Melo can opt in for $28 million.
Because you remember, he waived the no-trade clause to go to Oklahoma City from New York.
Because they realized in New York they had paid him too much. So now you have a guy that everybody knows, oh my God, we could get Melo. Remember when the Clippers were talking about getting Melo? Oh God, if we got him, it would have been worse.
It would have been a good fit for the Clippers.
Oh, it would have?
Yeah, yeah. It would have been a good fit for the Clippers.
Because certainly the Blake Griffin-Carmelo-Anthony combination.
Different. It's different than, you know, being here in... Him being with Russell Westbrook, who's ball-centric. So it'd have been different.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Melo needs his shots, and he wasn't getting them in Oklahoma City. So
that's what the problem is. Yeah. That's the whole concern
here. That's the big concern. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe the concern is you're playing the name game.
No.
Maybe that's
Melo
the concern.
Melo can score. There's never been a doubt about that. He can score.
And his teams have won so many. How many?
It's not a one-man show. It's a team game, Fred.
Let me think.
It's a team game, Fred. He did his part. He needed some help.
No, let me think for a minute.
He needed some help.
They've won no NBA titles on teams he's played on. Is that correct?
He put the Syracuse Orange on his back and won a title in college, Fred.
That's great. This is
on
the
his
NBA.
Back. He needed help.
Well, do you think he should go back?
Did he ever have help? Did he ever have help in Denver? Did he have help?
Is that my problem?
New York, did he have help?
Then wait a minute.
Did he have help?
Rodney, I'll say Denver's the only time he did have help, and he asked to be traded away from Denver.
That's true.
They pushed
the
Lakers to the conference finals in six games. That's the time he did have help, and he forced himself to New York.
Well, he wanted to be in. He wanted to go home.
That's
he wanted to go home.
So
he
go
wanted
home
to go
home.
He wanted to go home to the big city.
He went home to the big city and lost.
Because the Knicks promised him that they were going to get him help.
But they were going to build around him. He's the
They
guy.
Didn't build around him.
You know what?
He was making a lot of money, so he
you're
didn't
good
help
enough.
Yeah, but they didn't build around him.
Good enough.
They didn't build around him, though, Fred.
Porzingis can't play?
He won gold medals as well. He had help and won gold medals.
Oh, my God.
He was the greatest help in the history of the planet.
Oh, for God's sake.
Please, Rodney.
He was an all-star team.
You guys not buying that?
No, no one's buying it, Rodney.
He had help. When you got help, you can win.
No, please.
Come on now.
That's the danger in playing the name game. Blake Griffin. Oh, the Clippers signed him to this enormous deal. This is going to be great. It was a disaster. By far, the best move this year was the Clippers moving Blake Griffin. And if you're a Blake Griffin fan, just get over yourself. It was a good move to move him and get that money off the books. The worst move was the Pistons actually taking that deal.
Yeah.
Actually taking that deal. Because, as I said, when the Clippers signed him, once you've signed him, you got him. Well, now, Carmelo Anthony, $28 million. He can opt out. What if he chooses not to?
He can opt in.
I mean, what if? He's not opting out of that.
No, $28 million. I got a choice to make $28 million, or I'm opt out of that, test the free agent market. No, I'm opting in.
Not sniffing that much in the free agent market.
Wait a minute. How about work out a settlement? You know?
Settlement?
Sure.
Why would I work out a settlement? I'm getting $28 million. Why am I working out a settlement?
I'm not taking a penny less if
I'm on the tail end of my career. Why am I working out a settlement? Are you absolutely nuts right now, Fred?
Because maybe I can go somewhere else for 2 years and make $14 million a year. So in the final year, he'd make $14 million.
So he goes to Golden State?
Oh, God. They'd never touch him.
Yes, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they do.
They wouldn't even sniff it.
That's the thing, Fred. Would anybody reputable take him? Maybe
he
could make $14 million a year playing in Atlanta.
He's going to Houston.
Oh, sure he is.
They shoot the threes.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
Might be the
about.
Missing link.
That's why you don't play the name game, Rodney. You just don't do it.
He can score. He's one of the best scorers in all of NBA history.
That's great.
He can score.
Statistics. Yeah, when he's shooting 45 shots, great.
Man, you just got to get some help.
Does he?
Get your help. How about LeBron? How much help does LeBron have?
Well, he got it last night.
He got a little bit last night.
He got it last night. How about this? He's the first one to admit. He's like, that's why LeBron is the greatest, because he admitted that he didn't have a good game. He didn't have things weren't going well. He admitted he played bad. He still had a triple-double. The team won, but he got some help last night. He got some help from Kevin Love and J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver. You know, it's a difference. It's a difference because he can play, and when he's got to take a game over and he need him to take a game over, LeBron can do that. He's still the best in the world, and the LeBron critics has got to stop right now. It's really got to stop because he is the best in the world.
Yeah, he really is. You know, didn't Chris Broussard mention yesterday that generationally, you know, people will think Michael Jordan is the greatest ever because of his titles? I got to tell you, no one has impacted the game like LeBron James. He's a linebacker playing in the NBA.
Yeah, no,
with incredible athletic ability.
Yeah.
And can beat you anywhere. Can beat you from any spot on the court.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
And can do it when he wants to.
When
he wants to take over a game and beat you, he will will it within himself and maybe one or two others. But if he has to do it all by himself, he can do it.
The thing about watching LeBron, if you've ever seen him in person, you see him on TV, great. But if you've seen a game and LeBron is playing in person, the thing that strikes you, has always struck me, is if his team has the ball and he's not handling it at that point, he literally is standing around half court. He's just standing out there. Looks like he's waiting for a bus. He's in no hurry, just standing around, and then in a split second, to the basket in a layup.
And
or
a flash,
dunk.
By the way.
I mean,
that huge and that fast is unreal.
In a flash.
It makes it's mind-boggling. And there are times you will look at him and say, my God, he's not doing anything. And you look up, he has 36 points.
Yeah.
Because he knows what to do when to do it.
He contested a three, then ran and got the rebound, and then went coast to coast and scored. I mean, he is absolutely incredible. And this whole notion of, but he's only got three titles. I'm not buying it.
I don't either.
Because they wouldn't be there. they wouldn't even been close to sniffing the championships without him. To get to seven straight, are you kidding me? Where he has been the guy that has gotten them there? Unbelievable.
All right, stay with us during the break because we've got Dodger tickets to give away. I guess I kind of ruined that surprise. But anyway, sorry. But anyway, we're going to do it during the break.
We got something to give away. We won't tell you. We got something to give away.
Yeah, we're giving Dodger tickets during the break. So stay with us during the break. And also when we come back, I don't know how many games you get to go to. If you go to a lot, if you go to a few, I don't know what sport you go to. What if you went to the game? You paid money. Maybe the only time you could go this year. You show up, and the guy you showed up to see plays, but really doesn't do anything. We'll explain. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports. That's why we're here.
Ah, that never gets old.
Nah, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for the people.
We're givers, Fred.
We are givers. We are givers. Brandon and Chino, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. How you doing?
Good, good. How you guys doing?
Good. We are givers, and you won. We're giving you a pair of tickets to see the Dodgers play the Rockies on June 29th.
Thank you guys so much, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, the Rockies, baby. You excited? Dodger ticks. Man, you don't sound excited. You don't sound excited. Get excited for me, man, real quick.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Band Dead and Company will perform before the game, and Friday Night Fireworks featuring a Grateful Dead mix presented by Denny's will happen afterwards. For more information, Dodgers.com/Dead and Company. Brandon, way to go, man. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you guys so much, man. I appreciate y'all.
All right, hang tight. Let's give somebody $1,000.
Come on now. Answer that phone. Answer that phone. Unknown number. Block number. Fred's calling. Jason Stewart's calling. You better answer the phone. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand.
Answer the phone. All right. So last night, the Orioles were playing the Angels down in Anaheim, and Mike Trout, he may be one of the quietest, greatest players in professional sports history.
Best player in baseball.
Yeah. He really is the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you can see Mike Trout play in person, you should, because you're looking at one of the greatest of all time.
You know, we talked about LeBron James being a linebacker playing basketball. Mike Trout's a fullback. He's a fullback playing center field for the Angels.
Yeah.
I mean, just a bulldog, but all-around great player.
All right, so if you have a chance to see Mike Trout do it, even if you're a Dodger fan, if the Angels come to Dodger Stadium, you got to see Mike Trout play. You just have to. He's one of the greatest of all time. And if you spent money to see Mike Trout hit last night against the Orioles, here's what you saw. Mike Trout stepped up to the plate. The umpire looked at him and pointed to first base.
Ball four, take a base.
All right, the next time he stepped up to the plate, the umpire looked at him and pointed to first base.
Ball four, take a base.
Came up again. Stood in, the umpire looked at him and pointed to first base.
Ball four, take a base.
I think he got up one more time. Now, the umpire did not point to first base this time. So he stood in there and...
Ball four, take a base.
Three times he didn't take the bat off his shoulder, and the final time he walked. Rodney, did you get your money's worth?
Oh, this is bad. It's bad. You know, it's one thing to walk him in a high-leverage situation late in the game, but when you're doing it early in the game, I mean, that's just absolutely Bush League, Little League, call it what you will. It's terrible. Because, yeah, fans come to see Mike Trout hit and Mike Trout play. They don't want to see him walk, especially early in the game. Are you going to do this? I mean, the game's not in the balance. We're not talking about the seventh, eighth, ninth inning where, you know, he's coming up and the bases are loaded or bases are, you know, got two guys on and first base is open. We got to walk him. We're talking about early in the game. He walked three times in that game. That's ridiculous. This is not Little League. This is not Little League. I mean, I go back then. I'm not to toot my son's horn, but it's Little League. They used to walk him. You know, my one that plays baseball is pretty good at it. They walked him with the bases loaded all the time, and then they walk him. And I got thrown out of the field, actually. Got thrown out
really?
Of Little League because I complained that this is, come on, how are you supposed to get better? Are you going to walk him every time? And, yeah, I was not welcome there a couple times. But anyway, if you're paying your money to go see a superstar like Mike Trout, you want to see him go do his thing. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Buck Showalter, the manager of the Orioles, made the decision. We're just not even going to give him a chance. And I just wonder if you feel cheated, if you spent the money to go see Mike Trout.
Buck has done this before, by the way. He's the one manager. This is the story that goes around. He walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded.
With the bases loaded, yeah.
He's the one that did that. He was with the Rangers at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's incredible. It's incredible. And I remember that Bonds year that he hit, that he broke the record. I mean, you can, steroids aside or whatever they want to say, but, you know, he got walked, I think, more times than anybody set the record, but he only got one pitch to hit during that whole season. And to hit that many home runs in one pitch was amazing and incredible. But for a fan to pay money to go to the game and to watch one of your superstars play, and again, I keep reiterating this, it's not the ninth inning. It's not a leverage situation. They're walking them early in the game, in the first inning. I mean, who does that? Who does that? It's Bush League to me.
Well, and it didn't help because the Angels came back and won late in the game.
Well, that's the crazy part, too. The time they didn't try to intentionally walk him was in the ninth inning. Yeah. He gets right in front of
Upton. Yeah, it was a legitimate walk, right.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just curious because I think I would feel cheated.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd feel cheated. Yeah. If I spent money to see that last night, I can go to one game. It's the old, the Clippers are playing the Cavs, and LeBron is sitting at the end of the bench drinking Starbucks.
Yeah.
He's in street clothes with a cup of coffee. That's not why I paid. And I certainly didn't pay last night to watch the umpire point to first base and just have Mike Trout meander on down there. Just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Come on, Vic.
Bad.
Yeah.
Come on now. Bring it, Big. Bring it, Big. Bring all
it's
that
time
Big.
For good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, gentlemen, is it a good call or bad call for Sam Darnold to start in New York day one? Jets general manager Mike McCagney came out today in an interview and says that Sam Darnold will have every opportunity to compete for the starting job in New York with the Jets. Of course, they bring back their veteran, Josh McCown, who's been the starter the last couple of seasons, has a lot of experience, especially in mentoring young quarterbacks. Darnold has a legitimate shot of starting day one for the New York Jets. The question is it a good call or a bad call for him to start day one in the Big Apple, Fred?
If he's ready to play, it's a good call.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. There's a danger associated with it that you're learning on the job, and there's an awful lot to learn, and Rodney would be able to speak to that. But if they believe that he is competent and can learn on the job, I see no problem with giving him the chance. Rodney?
Yeah, if he's ready to play, let him play. I have no problem with that. I think that certain guys mature enough and pick up the offense quick enough that they can start day one. And if you know that, I mean, obviously this guy is your future. You want him to play as early as possible without suffering some repercussions of shell shock. But Sam has got the mentality. He's got the demeanor to understand that he's going to go through some ups and downs and not get rattled. He's that even-keeled guy, which I love this pick by the Jets because he can handle New York and not get rattled. So if he's ready to play, let him start day one. It won't be a problem. Russell Wilson did that where he wasn't expected to do it. They saw what he did in training camp and said, listen, he's our guy. He's our guy. We're going to go with this guy and ride him out. And the rest is history. So if he's ready, let him go.
Our resident New Yorker, VTB.
Great call. I grew up in the JETS Jets in Queens, New York, when the winds were howling and Joe Willie Namath was trying to throw one of those patented balls through the wind,
shot.
Man. He cut through the wind. Yeah, Sam Darnold is the perfect pick. It's a great call. It's been a wasteland of quarterback for the Jets fans for oh so many years. Sam Darnold's the perfect pick, the perfect place. This is a sensational call for Sam to start. I mean, they have no one else anyway. I mean, they have no talented quarterback, and they haven't for years.
Well, I would say this, that too, and on top of that, Vic, Josh McCown is a great, great guy to be there with Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
He's a quality guy. He's gone and been successful wherever he's played. They've asked him to do too much and carry the team. He's done well. But to have a mentor like that is going to be so beneficial to Sam Darnold. The only question is, you know, where does Teddy Two Gloves go now? I mean, Teddy Two Gloves had, you know, his opportunity in Minnesota, got hurt with that horrific injury. Sad to see he's in this situation where he's not going to get a chance to play.
Yeah, talk that Bridgewater cannot even make it out of training camp. Might get cut.
Yeah.
They have so many quarterbacks on their roster. Something tells me that Sam Darnold's not going to be rocking mink coats with ladies on his arms like like Joe Willie did back in the day.
Now, the other one, Josh Rosen might have done that.
Rosen might have done that. Yeah. Sanchez did a little bit of that in New York.
Yeah, he did.
It probably didn't help
his
cause.
Got him run up out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Good call or bad call for Draymond Green to get into a war of words with Charles Barkley. Now, during halftime of Game 2 between the Warriors and Pelicans last night, Charles Barkley said he wished he could punch Warriors forward Draymond Green in the face. This is after Draymond got into an altercation on the court with Rajon Rondo. After the game, Green said that he sees Charles all the time, and if Chuck wants to punch him, he has ample opportunity to be able to do so. Draymond ended his comments with saying, quote, "You old and you know what it is," unquote. Good call or bad call for Draymond Green to engage in a war of words with Charles Barkley, Rodney?
It's a good call. It's comedy back and forth. They know each other. I know Charles. You know, Charles is entertainment. But Draymond is entertainment as well. He likes to talk, and those two can go back and forth. It'll be an ongoing thing. You know, it'd be one thing if it's a player that would distract him from his play on the court. But Draymond, that's what he lives on. He lives on people, you know, chastising him, calling him out, all those type of things. He thrives on that. So it's a good call. It's all entertainment to me.
Fred?
Well, it is a good call because it is all entertainment. Yeah, but in my weird world, it's kind of white noise. It's like just out there. Who cares? Charles Barkley's not punching Draymond Green in the face. Draymond Green is not punching Charles Barkley in the face. Yeah, but it is one of the big reasons why the NBA resonates with younger people, because they love that give and take, that back and forth, everything surrounding the game.
It's not always politically correct, right?
Right.
It just they say what they mean and they do what they say.
Yeah, it's like trash talking.
Yeah.
And they just trash talk each other. Good call.
How about you, Vic?
Fabulous call. That's why we love TNT and we love Charles and Shaquille and Kenny, because they mix it up. And this gets Draymond off. He loves the criticism. Loves when you get into his face. And Draymond, the first couple games against the Pelicans, has played brilliant basketball. He's almost a triple-double in the third quarter for Dre. So whatever Charles says will fuel him, I believe, for Game 3.
By far, I just want to add that TNT show is the best studio show on television.
Sensational.
Easily the best. Every network tries to capture that feel, that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Normally, the pregame show is something that comes on before the game. But they have been able to create a show that really is must-see. The closest thing to that is Fox NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
Those guys are very good as well.
Yes.
Correct.
Very good. But that's the feel, the sense. But by far, that TNT show is the best there is.
Dynamite.
I know Fox Baseball tried that with Pete Rose the last couple of seasons, and it kind of petered out towards the end with Pete.
That was so sad.
Yeah.
Good
call or bad call for Eric Reed to file a collusion grievance against the NFL. Free agent safety Eric Reed, formerly of the 49ers, has reportedly hired attorney Mark Garagos, the same attorney that Colin Kaepernick hired, as he's filed his grievance against the NFL for teams not signing him, saying there is collusion against himself and other players who decided to kneel during the national anthem last season. A former Pro Bowler is Eric Reed, now a free agent, has met with one team in the offseason, the Cincinnati Bengals, and reportedly they did ask him whether or not he planned to kneel for the anthem in upcoming seasons. Many believe that's a reason why he did not sign with Cincinnati. He has yet to receive another interview since then during this offseason. So good or bad call for Reed to file a collusion grievance against the NFL for not having a job at this point, Fred?
Bad call. Bad call. Is it legal? I think it is right now in the state of California. You can buy weed legally, right?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So it's legal, right?
Sure.
Okay, good. So if we all went out and bought some and smoked it before we came in here and sat down, and now we're doing our job.
Who are you trying to call out right now, Fred?
I'm just making a statement.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing our job.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work. And the boss came in and said, Are you high? And we go, yeah, we just smoked some weed. It's cool. And he goes, you can't do that. I know it's legal, but it's not legal here. You can't do that when you're working. You can do that on your free time. You can do that on your own time, but not when you're working. We're not going to put up with it. I'm going to smoke it. You're not going to work here. Same premise here. The NFL, right or wrong, controls the venues, very much like the Olympics. you're inside the venue, the NFL controls it. You have the right to protest. I know Rodney disagrees with me on this. You have the right to protest. You have a social media platform to protest. You can do anything you want. But in here, we're telling you we don't support that. We don't want you to do it here. Our fan base is not here for that. But do whatever you want on your own time. If you don't agree to that, if it's more important to you, and that is your right, it is also their right to say, you know what? We can go in a different direction. And it's all based on ability and skill. If Colin Kaepernick was Tom Brady, it would have been a different story. The argument Colin Kaepernick was better than a lot of the backups, you might make that argument.
Not Mike, he is.
Okay, make that argument. But you know what? Unless you're Nick Foles, we just need a backup. We're not really worried about it. So I think it's a bad call. I think it's a losing lawsuit.
How about you, Rodney?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad call in the sense that you got to know your leverage. You got to understand your leverage, all right? He's not Patrick Peterson. He's not.
Earl Thomas.
He's not Earl
like
Thomas.
That.
He's not,
like
you know, Richard Sherman. I mean, he's not that. You know what I mean? And so you first have to understand the leverage that you have. And this will eliminate any opportunity for him to get back in the NFL by filing this grievance. They will, you want to think of collusion, there will be blackballed. He will be blackballed.
That's a good point.
He will be blackballed from this point on because he filed this suit. So he can forget about playing in the NFL anymore. It's just the way it is. And you made the comparison that Kaepernick's not Tom Brady. It's the same comparison here. You know what I mean? You got to understand your leverage and when to play that leverage. And this is not the time. If he truly wants to be back on the field and wants to play football, then you can say, look, I made my point. I kneeled last year. You know, what was it? Cincinnati that brought him in and asked him the question. You know, no, I don't plan on kneeling this year. I want to get on the field and play. That's my goal. I made my statement. It was controversial last year. I made my statement. I'll continue to stand up for that. But I want to play football now. And if this means that I got to adhere to what the Bengals or anybody else is trying to sign me, I will do that. But if you don't want to do that, you got to understand that you're not going to have a job.
Vic, you got the last word, brother.
The shield is ironclad. They're unyielding. They're indomitable. Listen, they won't even let the players smoke pot for healing. That's how archaic the NFL
archaic.
Is.
Archaic.
They won't right, even man. Let the NFL players smoke pot to heal their wounds.
Which has been proven.
Every Sunday, like getting into car wrecks. So for Eric Reed, I can't call this a frivolous lawsuit. I admire his lust for freedom and his lust to be free. But it's a losing cause. If I'm Eric's agent, I'm saying, you know, just to get your tuckers down the practice field and just play hard if you want to make the squad and let Garagos and the lawsuit go.
All right. And that's good call back, all gentlemen.
Sure.
Good yeah. stuff, Kev.
Yeah. All right, Kev, nice stuff.
You went deep, Kev. You didn't go surface this time.
Thick. Look at
Kev,
you.
You went way deep.
Oh, we go deep, brother.
You went deep to depths where you had to put on a scuba suit. Man.
Deeper than the Marianas Trench, Micronesia, you are. Half a day, sports fan.
This was not snorkeling today. This was scuba diving. Damn, K-Figs.
Hey, Vic, how would you have felt if you'd paid to see Mike Trout last night? What do you think about
ripped
that?
Ripped off, man. How dare he do? That's gutless, not pitching to Trouty. Pitch to Trouty. So what? He's the best player in baseball. What are you going to do? You pitch to him. Play some hardball, man.
Yeah, and if you're on that team and we're walking a guy in the first inning, I mean, how do you feel? You're the pitcher.
I want to
challenge this guy.
Who's walking Machado four times? He's hitting 369. No one's walking Machado four times.
No. You're a pitcher on the mound. You believe you can get that guy out. Let me get him out. That's what I want to feel. Otherwise, why are you trotting the guy out on the hill in the first place?
Well, Baltimore is like 2 and like 50, so they probably we can't get him out anyway. It doesn't matter who we roll out there. So
God, but what does that say to the pitcher though?
I know.
Yeah, how you trot a guy out there? Oh, we're not gonna let you pitch to the good hitters. we're gonna try to take our chances with everybody else, but we're gonna walk the guy because we know he's gonna hit a home run off you.
Gutless.
All right, Petros and money. Allegedly, every day it's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah.
But we think they'll be here next. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports.